Parental discretion advised. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Geo's Passion, where some of the names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride.
What's up, Geo's Passion Posse, GPP, and the place to be? I'm bringing you this podcast from our GPP studios in Tampa, Florida. Welcome to Geo's Passion. My name is Jack, and I'm your host. I hope everybody's doing well. As I always say, you know, things are going on in the world today. It is crazy outside. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But that's okay. You know why? Because we're GPP, and we're hanging in there, and we're handling our business. Yes, we are. So travel has been pumping in this current post-pandemic time, or season, if you want to call it that. The airports are packed with travelers and filling hotels, renting cars, and booking cruises. On the TSA website, it says that April 10th, 2022, had 2,293,548 people that went through the TSA checkpoint, which was a number of 153,253 less than travel the same day in 2019. So those are good numbers. So imagine that. 2019, before the pandemic, had only 153,253 people traveling more than yesterday, April 10th. So that's awesome. Though, with all the delays taking place of the weather, the staffing shortages, gives me pause to travel. You know, I'm like, do I really want to do that? I'm probably going to travel more towards later on in the end of the year. Hopefully when they can get some of this stuff, you know, some of this mess corrected, like, staffing issues. And yeah, I know the winter, the weather stinks and it's kind of worse, but you know, at least with staffing, you can kind of handle more of what you're dealing with. You don't have a 1-2 punch of no staff and weather. You know what I'm saying? So, but this week is spring break for the Northeast, like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And you know, like I stated in my last episode, the TSA and the CDC, they're still hanging on to these stupid mask mandates at their federally run locations. So you can travel to the airport, then you have to put a mask on at the terminal, on a plane, or in the cruise terminal. But then you get in your rental car or your regular car, and you're good. No mask. Enter the cruise or walk out of the terminal. And most terminals, you know, as you walk out of there, before you go into the actual building, no mask is needed. What the hell's up with this bull stinky science? Thousands of people can go to Miami Music Festival at spring break or on Miami Beach with numerous crowds with no mask, either in the crowds or in the restaurants. Recently, pilots getting fed up. They sued to remove the mask mandates on planes, stating it's causing a dangerous environment. Not because of health, but because of the people getting into fights or misbehaving because of the masks policy on planes. Because of how the air circulates and is filtered on planes, they have said it numerous times. Most viruses and other germs, they don't spread easily on airplanes. Even though I know people who have gotten sick from being on an airplane, you know, pre-pandemic and come back. But, you know, they probably had something going on anyway. So it says, although the risk of infection in plane is low, travelers should try to avoid contact with sick passengers. Really, Captain Obvious? Hi, I'm Captain Obvious. Try to avoid sick passengers. Duh. Really? Like, I didn't know that. Try to avoid sick people, period. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be sick. And travelers should try to avoid contact with sick passengers and wash their hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or use hand sanitizer that contains 60 to 95% alcohol. The problem is you can't bring hand sanitizer that I know of, maybe unless it's like less than 3.5%. I'm going to have to look that up for next time. You can't bring the hand sanitizer onto a plane because that's a, you know, has alcohol and oh, you know, the shoe bomber and stuff like that. Come on, bro. Seriously? You know, some of the stuff that the TSA and the U.S. government still do with these restrictions before you get on the plane is so, so antiquated. But, hey, now, if the circulation of the air is effective, okay, on the airplane, and the cruise lines don't have to wear a mask, why are airlines still mandating to do so? It just doesn't make sense. Like I said, it doesn't make sense. I believe still you will see an increase in airline travel when all the mask mandates go away, because a lot of people don't want to wear a mask on a plane. You know, you're sitting there, you're next to somebody for, you know, even if it's family members, you know, anywhere from an hour and a half to 5 to 8 hours, especially those long flights, you definitely don't want to wear a mask. You know, and if it goes away to airports, it's, you know, it's fine. And if it goes away to flights, it's even better, you know. So we'll see. We will see, because right now the TSA and the CDC have not extended the Monday, April 18th mandate deadline, which is the day after Easter and the end of spring break, you know. So I guess the spring break, Easter travel season will be over. So with that, you know, I'm thinking that's probably going to be the point when they're like, okay, you know what? We have less people traveling, so let's, you know, let's get things done. But hey, who am I? I'm not the CDC. I'm not the TSA. I'm not the LMNOPQRSTURV. I have no say. I'm just here to report it for you. All right. So, yes. If you're seeing this crazy housing market continue and wonder why things are so expensive, I'm going to tell you what my most recent experience was and why prices are so high. All right, so true story. My listing was on the market for 1 day, actually 7 hours before my client received an all cash offer. And that was all cash, $15,000 over asking, no appraisal contingency, and a 5-day inspection. That's great. That's awesome. That's what any homeowner wants. All right. So by hour 19, my client was under contract and we had 5 backup offers. What are backup offers? Backup offers are people who made offers to you and who were in competition with the person that you selected or the company that you selected or whatever. And now, because you did not select them, you still put backup offers just in case that initial offer or contract doesn't go through properly. It doesn't work or whatever, for whatever reasons. So you go back to the other agents. You go, hey, look, you know, we appreciate your client's offer. We have an offer. We're on the contract. We accepted it. But we can use your client and have them as a backup offer just in case things fall through. So out of the 7 contracts that we had all cash offers on, five of them expressed that they wanted to become backup offers. So that's a great thing for my seller. Sorry. Now, the question is, and many of you have seen this in the news, who are buying these properties? You might think it's all big city or northern money coming from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, something like this and that and that. Nope. It's big companies. If you watch YouTube, you know, and you query, you know, housing crisis, they'll show you there too. They'll show you who's buying this. And in the Tampa Bay market, it's big. It's humongous. The things that are going on with some of these companies buying properties. So first you heard, you know, JP Morgan was buying properties. BlackRock, Blackstone was buying properties. You know, I think Bank of America was even involved in buying properties. And what they would do is they would buy these properties and then rent them. So they kind of learned from 2008, you know, where they were just buying these mortgage-backed securities and, you know, and they had these mortgages on hand. Now they actually buying the physical property. And with the competition, you know, out there, the way it is, there's small, minute, I don't want to say zero chance, but a small, minute chance that a normal resale buyer, you know, someone who's doing financing, FHA, VA, conventional loan, you know, even some of these cash offers from regular people are not meeting the level that these companies are bringing in, okay? But you keep on hearing about the housing crisis. So right now, home builders are seeing a decline and it's hitting new lows. Brand new home construction builders like Pulte Homes, they're down 2.14%. D.R. Horton is down 3.29%. And Lennar is down 2.66%. These are mostly first time, you know, or lower income working class home buyers. You know, first time in the market, or they don't make a lot of money, so they're not buying, you know, like, you know, Biscayne Homes or Cardinal Homes or even some of the bigger MI and Taylor Morrison homes and stuff like that. So, you know, these are the beginning clients who are brand new to the housing industry. So what I will say is that, you know, a lot of people are talking about the beginning of a recession or a housing market crash. Everybody's at odds. Nobody knows anything, but everybody's at odds. They're saying, you know, yeah, yes, no, you know, when the Fed raises and stuff like that. So as the Fed starts raising interest rates, the mortgages become more expensive, especially for new home buyers. And with the value increasing, the price is increasing, the mortgage is increasing, and then the taxes will go up also because the value of the property has gone up. So if you have a higher tax, higher mortgage, normal working people can't afford to purchase a new construction home, much less compete with the companies that are coming in with cash and thousands over asking price on a resale home or on a home where it's already owned by somebody. Now, when the market crashes, it will be good for small investors who buy properties to rent and have been holding money on the side and stuff like that. Because what ends up happening is the market crashes, they will have the money to purchase short sales or foreclosures that the large companies are hesitant or not interested in buying. QE3, QE4 of 2022, it's going to be huge. So start preparing now. Start preparing so that you're not caught shorthanded or depending on the government and stuff like that. Put a couple of dollars away, could have put a couple of pennies away. But yeah, these large companies are coming in. They're offering, you know, thousands over asking price, no appraisal contingency because they're all cash. So anything that, you know, they don't need an appraisal because they're coming all cash to the table. And then, you know, a short inspection period. And if the house is, you know, in good working bones and stuff like that, they're going to come in and they're going to redo the inside of the house anyway. So they'll you know, they'll give that to you. And my client's neighbor's house, who sold about 6 months ago, was sold also to the same company. So it's crazy what's going on, you know. But I will say that as things get worse, you know, in the housing market, and as rents even go up higher, you're hoping for some relief. Do I think there's going to be relief? I don't think so. And the reason why I don't think there's going to be relief in rent is because you have, again, the companies owning these properties and they're renting it out. So it's not like, oh, you know, they're going to sell it because they're losing money on the property. It doesn't matter that they're losing money per se in the value of the property. They're still getting money because they have it rented. And people need a place to live. You understand? So you need a place to live. So you have to rent if you can't afford a down payment and stuff like that. Now, I was talking with someone the other day and they asked, you know, the same question that I've asked. What I don't understand is that I've had clients who have paid rent, $1,700 a month in rent, in the new Tampa area, Wesley Chapel area, nice areas of, you know, North Tampa, North Hillsboro, North Tampa, and South Pasco, paying $1,700 in rent, yet they don't qualify for a loan that's $1,200. Something's wrong in the system. Something's completely wrong. You know, the family together, husband, wife, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancés, they can combined pay a mortgage that is $1,700 a month, yet they cannot qualify for a mortgage that's $500 less a month. How does that make sense? You tell me, how does that really make sense? It doesn't make sense. So something's wrong, something's going on, and I don't know what it is, but something's got to change. Number two, a lot of times, And this happened in, you know, in New York City. This happens in Yonkers. This happens, you know, in I'm sure in California, in San Francisco. I'm sure this happened also. And, you know, in some parts of L.A., Bel Air, you know, Beverly Hills. There comes a time where, you know, gentrification takes over. And a lot of people, they, you know, even in some of the less desirable parts of their cities, they're starting to see an influx of new money coming in. And some of the older homes, the older bungalows, 1950s, 1930s, are being bought out for more money and then redone. You know, they're not being torn down. They're being redone. So then taxes go up, values go up, prices go up. And what we're seeing is that because of that, what ends up happening is that the rental market dries up. So you have more demand and less supply. And not many, I don't want to say not many people, but some people are not willing to move. They're not willing to leave the area that they want to. Last year I put out, I think it was December 2020, I put out a video and I did a podcast episode called The $30,000 Millionaire, where they're spending a whole bunch of money. And this is before, you know, this is before the crazy prices that we have right now. But they're willing to spend, you know, $1,500, $2,000 to live in a prime location, meaning downtown Tampa, you know, Central Avenue of St. Pete, you know, and some of the, you know, Chelsea, oh man, you know, other places in New York, you know, White Plains and stuff like that. They're willing to spend that money because they want to be in a location that's close to all the things that they're doing. The only problem with that is they're priced out. They can't afford it. You understand? But they're not willing to move either. They're not willing to move to a lower price area that might be a little farther, maybe a car ride or maybe a bus ride or a train ride to their fun area. They want to be right on top of that. They want to be right in the centrally located area. And if you can't afford it, I'm sorry. So you constantly see it on the news. You know, so-and-so's rent got raised $500, $800, $1,000. And, you know, it's called the market, you know. So landlords are going to raise rents based on market, what the market is asking for. And unfortunately, if you can't afford it, you're going to have to move. You understand? So you can no longer afford to live in that area. You're going to have to move. And the problem is everybody's complaining, oh, you know, you shouldn't raise my rent. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. But that's how the real estate game is. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's how the real estate game is. And, you know, if you can't afford that area, you're going to have to move to an area that you can afford. You know, and some people are leaving the state of Florida and going to other states like, you know, in the Southeast, like Alabama, Tennessee, North, South Carolina, maybe Georgia also. I know Atlanta's a little steep, but maybe the surrounding areas, Silver Springs, I think it's called. Excuse me. But, you know, so they're doing that. But yeah, it's the housing market's crazy. Is it going to bounce? Yeah, I think it's going to bounce. I think there's going to be a time where you'll see some cutbacks and, you know, and it's a shame, but it's going to happen, you know? So for those other investors, like, you know, excuse me, some of the investors that I know from New York City and some of the investors that I know from even Spring Hill, they're ready. They're waiting to pounce as soon as this market goes any crazier and things like that. So, but we'll look out, we'll follow it, and we'll see what's going on because that's all we can do, you know. Now in sports. And this part is a little old news, but, you know, I've been a little behind on that one. So now that Brady's back, Tom Brady is back, and he'll be working with a new head coach, the Bucs' new head coach, because Bruce Arians retired. And now Todd Bowles has been named as the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady's going to see a change. The change is going to be from an offensive head coach to a defensive head coach. We'll see what happens with that. Now, Todd Bowles didn't do so good while he was a head coach of the Jets. His record there was 24-40. That's 24-40 losses. And that was in 4 years, okay? But then again, you know, to all my New Yorkers who are out there, I love you guys, but it was the Jets. So, you know, and they didn't have Brady. So, you know, Todd Bowles might be doing something good this time. That might make a big difference. You know, if you have Tom Brady, you have a good offense. You know, it might lead to better statistics for the new head coach, Todd Bowles. So we'll see what's up with that. Rob G, as some of you know him, and Rob Gronkowski is still up in the air. He put post out there that if he does come back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it will only be, if he does come back to football, it will only be to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see. He's playing. I think he's going to come back. Cause him and Tom are like twins, you know, they're best of friends and stuff like that. And I think for Rob to come back the first year, you know, or the first time meant a lot. And now with the new head coach, things might change up and he might be interested in seeing, hey, you know what? Let's see what he got for me. So we'll see with that. And Stephen Cohen's Mets. The Mets are in first place right now in the 2022 season. Even though they've only played four games, they are 3-1 in first place. And I know it's too soon because as a Met fan and we've all seen it, towards the end of the season, they choke. They choke. I used to see it in the 80s and 90s. The Mets would go all the way to August, and then in September, Atlanta will pull it out. And the Mets will be going home to play golf, and Atlanta Braves will be playing in the playoffs. So we'll see. We'll see what that brings this year. The Tampa Bay Rays are first. So they have a record of 3-0. And the New York Yankees are in second with a record of 2-1. So again, this is the infancy of the 2022 season. It's young, you know, as time goes on, we'll see who's, you know, who's stepping up, who spent the good money in the offseason, and how it helped out, you know, especially with the contract negotiations that were taking place because, you know, we almost didn't have a season this year. Almost didn't have a season. So, hey, we got one now and, you know, we'll play it by ear and we'll see what's up. So, Bitcoin, fuel, and other costs and investments. So, Congress recently met with the oil company executives and they were looking to find a solution to the current cost of fuel at the pumps. And you've heard my my common sense speech on why it's really gone up, but hey, I'm going to take a little piece from the Wall Street Journal. There was a Wall Street Journal article. The title said, "Oil Industry Executives Deny Gouging Consumers." And they use the same excuse as everybody else. Using Russian invasion, supply shortfalls, and restrictive U.S. policies as what's causing higher gas prices. I personally think the executives, you know, they say that to the House panel, but they're not completely coming true. You know, they're hiding a couple of things here and there because some of those companies are making some bank. And today, price of oil per barrel was $94 a barrel. It was under 100 finally. So that's a good sign. More on that in a few. It's a mix of everything. I think the government has a lot to do in it. Yeah, the executives have things to do, but I think the government has a lot to do with it. I think there's things that they're doing that, you know, it just, it makes no sense. The Wall Street article also stated chief executives of some of the highest, some of the country's largest oil producers Wednesday sought to deflect criticism from House Democrats for high energy prices, saying the factors outside their control may have kept gasoline at record highs and may still for months ahead. All right, so there, the oil execs are projecting, you know, high prices for months ahead. And as you can see in some states, I think it's like Georgia, Delaware, I think California might have done it also, and some other states are following. They're dropping their taxes on the fuel. So that does help at the pump. And then, of course, President Biden released some oil from the strategic oil reserves. And I've personally seen a decrease in the cost of fuel. I personally drive a lot. You know, being in real estate, you drive a lot of locations, you know, Northern County, Southern County, Next County, Over County, East, West, North, South. So, but the price of fuel in Tampa is currently an average of $3.92. And that's around $4.09 in New York City. And if you look at it in the overall picture, you're looking about a decrease of 15 to 20 cents per gallon compared to last week. So that's not bad. You know, it's a relief, especially when I go from filling up my tank from $35 to, say, $40, $42. That definitely helps. That's, you know, that's a nice little lunch. So, the price coin. The price of Bitcoin is currently around $40,677. It's up about $2,500. And though the market is down overall, crypto has been increasingly, it's been going up, you know, increasingly slow, but it's been increasing. And the other thing is with, crypto, you know, it was down, you know, 35, 38, and then it jumped up to actually to like 43, 44. The problem was recently it's gone back down. So it was like 43, 44, and then went back down now to 40. So, you know, it's still up compared, but it was down. Now, big news. I recently bought a share of Starbucks, or a couple of shares of Starbucks. When it went down due to the union push and the founder and CEO Howard Schultz returning to try and stop the downfall of Starbucks. So Starbucks has got a lot of things going on, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that. But I saw the shares starting to go down, and they do have dividends. So I decided, hey, you know what? I have crypto. Let me go back into the stock market a little bit, and let me you know, build back my portfolio there. Howard Schultz also said he's going to stop the stock buyback. And he said he will be focusing more on employees, or barista partners, as they are called, after more of the Starbucks locations have been voting for unionization. So that's the biggest thing there. The first big push having taken place in Buffalo, New York, of all places. So I will say that when a company stops doing their stock buyback, the value of the stock goes down. Stock buybacks are usually done to bring back value into the stock, into the company, and stuff like that. So by stopping the buyback of the stock, it's going to stagnate or keep it down, which is good for me because I'm looking for a cheap buy. That way, you know, in a couple of months, a year or two, it goes up. I still collect dividends of it. Right now, I think it's 45 cents a share. With the next payout in May. So so that's something to look at there. I will say that, you know, a lot of the Starbucks are unionizing. Amazon's got a push for some of the places that are unionizing. Alabama, they're still fighting because it looks like the plant in Alabama, the warehouse in Alabama, turned down unionization. So that's a big thing there. So, you know, I drink Starbucks when I travel. I've said this before. I love a cappuccino, a venti cappuccino, because I drink that before I go out to the to catch my flight. You know, it settles me, relaxes me, and I'm good to go. So now, you know, now in other news, Elon Musk has now become the biggest stakeholder in Twitter. What? The Twitter man? The Twitterverse? He is filed to sit on the board of Twitter. He said the reason that he wanted to try this and do this is because he wanted to change the culture of Twitter. He wanted to stop canceling people who don't agree with, you know, and follow the SWJs. For those of you who don't know what an SWJ, that's a social justice warrior. And they're very, you know, cancel culture and this and this and that. Elon Musk is tired of that. Elon Musk is going, yeah, freedom of speech. Let's go. Let's get this done. You want to talk about your stuff? Let's talk about your stuff. But now people are getting canceled for saying things that they've said 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Who knows? I might have said something in my podcast, you know, a year or two ago that right now, you know, if I was popular, famous, and you know, somebody like Joe Rogan or others, you know, I'd be canceled. Or they try to cancel. Well, I probably would be canceled because I don't have millions of followers like Joe Rogan does. But, you know, I'm like, okay, canceled. Bah, 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 bah. But anyway, but yeah, that's what's going on. So he's going to battle the SEC because the filing that he did was supposed to be different, and he was supposed to file a D, and he filed a G as in golf. And he already knew that he wanted to be on the board, and he bought stock early. And of course, as we all know, when Elon Musk tweets something about, you know, Dogecoin or Tesla or something like that, the stocks seem to go up. So the fact that he bought stock in Twitter, you know, some might call it like insider trading. That's why the Securities and Exchange Commission have a couple of words for him and might be investigating Elon Musk. But, you know, if you buy stock early, say your stock is $10 a share right now, and, you know, for Twitter, it's higher than that, though. But and then say, you know, Elon Musk says, hey, I'm getting on the board for Twitter. And now the shares of Twitter stock goes up to, say, $25. You made $15 a share, and Elon Musk has 9%, which is the most any person has invested in Twitter. And he's already a billionaire. So say that $10 went to $25, and depending on how many, you know, shares he bought, now he made a couple $1 billion just by that tweet. So the Securities and Exchange Commission is saying, yeah, you know what, that's probably insider trading, blah, 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 blah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, I will say that Jack Dorsey, I think he only has 2% of stake in Twitter. He used to have more, but, you know, now he focused more on Square, which is his payment platform using Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies and stuff like that. That's his main focus. So, you know, we'll see what Elon Musk does to bring back transparency to Twitter. The first thing that people did when Elon Musk came out with that news was they asked if former President Donald Trump was going to get his Twitter handle back to do his thing. As much as I like Trump, I think he's better off Twitter. I prefer him to be off Twitter, you know. So do what you got to do, you know, Donnie T, but stay off Twitter. Stay off Twitter, you know, for not only for yourself, but for us. And like I said, you know, I like Trump. You know, they try to screw him all ways, up, down, sideways. And then years later, people are finding out, oh, you know what he said was true. Even now with Hunter Biden and the laptop and all this other stuff, now even the liberal media is saying, ooh, there might be a problem there. Really? So you knew there was this problem a year and a half ago, you know, and now there's a problem? I guess it all depended on who was in the White House. So, but I'm not going to get into that right now or right here. So now I will also tell you to remember my legal warning and notice. I'm not a financial advisor. Only spend the money you feel comfortable to lose. And my comments on crypto is for entertainment purposes only, okay? Remember, I didn't tell you to buy crypto. I didn't tell you to buy stock. I didn't tell you to buy anything. I told you what I do and what I'm doing. You understand? And what you do, that's on your own, because everybody's situation is different, you know? But yeah, that's how it is. So, you know, a little breakdown, the housing market's crazy. Fuel's crazy. The stock market and crypto market are crazy. Everything's crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Possibly. Thank you, CeeLo.
No problem.
Oh, yeah. That's all I got to say. Now, let me tell you, don't forget to follow and subscribe to my podcast, no matter what listening platform you are on. I'm working on getting 1,000 subscribers and followers. I got 511 right now. I need you guys and gals to pump it up for me. All right, let's build Geo's Passion Posse and GPP. Come on, show up for me. But, hey, everybody, I had a great episode. This was fun. And I'll be coming out again, yo, with a new one. And we'll see what's up. But I thank everybody for showing up. You guys are awesome. Enjoy the ride.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode of Geo's Passion. I appreciate everyone for listening in and sharing this podcast with your friends, family, and your social media platform. This way we can build Geo's Passion and the Geo's Passion Posse together. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just type in Geo's Passion and you'll see the Geo's Passion logo. Feel free to DM me or leave me comments on my social media page of show ideas, how you're feeling, or just the topic you're interested in. That's why you, my listeners, are so important. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and my webpage, geospassion.com. Thanks for listening to Geo's Passion, where some of the names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. I'm Jack, I'm your host, and I'm out. Peace.